there is a difference between like worker and employee, employer desires. Workers want to be like close to 3 days work from home. Employers want them to be close to two.
I'm sorry. It's so funny that we look identical.
This is.
I can't. I just can't stop laughing.
This is the most embarrassing
thing. This is horrifying. What the hell?
I love this.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening at all.
No, that was obvious. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Per My Last Email, the show where we give you the hot takes and tactics to help you navigate work life. I'm Kyle.
I'm Kayla.
And for those watching on video, unfortunately, me and Kayla are wearing the exact same outfit today.
Exact. it's so embarrassing. I think the only thing that's different is we have different length socks on.
Yeah, I mean, when you're getting to that level, it's tough. It's not good.
Yeah.
This means we've done too many podcasts together already.
Yeah, the hive mind is strong. Yeah,
we're falling apart. How are you doing, Kayla?
I gotta be honest, Kyle. I'm not doing great. I am a little sick right now.
We have a Jordan flu game going on for this podcast.
But it's okay. You know, if I start falling asleep in the middle of this podcast, just nudge me and we'll get through it.
It's not because I'm boring.
It might be.
Ah, okay. Yep. Well, that's fair. Well, you are a little under the weather. Wouldn't it be so nice if you had the flexibility to work from home?
It would be so nice if I could podcast from home.
And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, it is.
We're going to answer the breaking question of, or the important question of, is hybrid work a trap?
I know, and it feels very, like, spiky to talk about. But the reality is, like, I feel like we've been having this conversation, remote, return to office, hybrid, for the past few years. Yeah. Maybe you can like set us up in case somebody's been living under a rock.
This question is in the zeitgeist.
It is.
It's in the culture.
Yep.
So yes, so let's set the scene. For those that are just being born right now, a couple years ago, we had a major event. It was called a global pandemic. And this kind of rocked the world in many ways.
Yep.
But let's set the scene. It peaked during COVID. The peak of work from home was 60% of full-time, full-paid work days were at home.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for the entire population. And now that's gone down to 30%. So 30% of paid work days are from home. And that 30% has stayed kind of like sticky. It's very sticky. This is like the new normal. And we have a really interesting chart from Gallup that we're going to throw up on the screen, but I'll describe it for those who aren't on YouTube. And this is showing like the current state of things. So right now, of people that could work remotely, 54% are in a hybrid work situation. They're working some days from home. They're working some days in office. 27% are exclusively remote, and 20% are fully on site. And so this hybrid work situation has become the new normal. And again, these numbers are really sticky. Like, I don't think this is going away. And the other interesting thing is, like, there is a discrepancy between what employers want and what employees want. So I'll do one more chart.
Okay.
We're big chart people.
Let's
over
hear
here.
It.
And this chart shows that the average employee wants just shy of 3 days working from home. The average employer wants just above 2 days. So there's almost a gap between employee and employer desires.
There definitely is a gap. Legitimately a gap, yeah.
It was like, you know,
that's
I worked in banking.
That's actually a gap.
I've looked at some charts, and that's clearly a gap. Yeah. There's a gap of about 1 day between the desires of employees and employers. And I think that gap is causing maybe some tensions, maybe a lot of conversations about hybrid work, how we're going to navigate it going forward. Is it a trap? Kayla, what is your take on the situation?
Okay, so I'm going to have a little bit of an unpopular opinion here. I'm going to play the villain for a second. Bear with me. I'm not actually Cruella DeVille. Let me take you back to 2017.
Oh, gosh. Kids these days.
Kids these days. So when I was just coming out of college, I got my ass handed to me at work.
Yeah.
Right? There was no like, are you working 4 days a week? Are you working 3 days a week in the office? I was working 5 days a week in the office and I was doing long hours, like long days. And it was awful. I don't wish that on anyone. But that being said, I learned the habits and, you know, the culture of working in a way that I wouldn't have if I was starting out in a remote exclusive environment. You really learn. It's the same way as like when you go to school, you like learn how to be in college or you like learn how to be in high school.
Learn how to socialize.
Yeah. And there's different contexts that are required. If you're staying at home and you're early into your career, it's really hard for you to pick up that kind of new workplace culture.
Yeah. And you might not know what you're missing.
exactly,
possibly as well.
Exactly. And I don't wish it upon anyone, to be fair, but yeah. I do think it's useful. And I think it's like, okay, I understand the allure of staying at home a lot, but if you want to grow in your career, being in office and picking up the habits and seeing how other people interact, especially those that are a little bit older than you, more experienced than you, I think is very valuable.
Well, there's so much nuance here. One, I think you might be suffering from Stockholm syndrome.
And perhaps.
I think banking like took you in and just like drilled you down. And then you're like, that wasn't that bad.
No, it was that bad. Yeah. It's more like hazing, right? Yeah. Like I experienced hazing and now I want others to suffer as well.
You're maintaining frat culture
exactly.
right now. That's what you're doing, Kayla. It's not good. Well, I think my take here is, though, like when you became a banker, when you started.
For the record, it's banker.
It's equities
is wrong.
Research. I have a philosophy major.
This
I don't know the
tough.
Difference.
It's not right. Yeah.
But when you started your career, there was not the capability to
correct.
Really work from home or be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I hear what you're saying, but it feels like sometimes you're talking about a world in which we're not going back to.
Interesting.
Like, now hybrid is the default. And so we can talk about like bring the kids back to the office, but like. That world is gone. And I think both employees and employers almost need a reality check of like hybrid is the new normal and how do we optimize and what are the pros and cons of this new setup?
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think there are probably, you know, some industries that are still going to be fully on site. I actually do think that banking probably is one of them just because there's a lot of like tech and regulations
sensitive
and stuff.
Information and Jamie Dimon yelling at you.
Exactly. Yeah. You just it's just a real L. I remember it was a few years ago when interns were caught at the Hamptons on like a Tuesday and like the MDs were also like in the Hamptons at the club or something. So I do understand why some industries want you to be in 100% of the time. And I still my thoughts still remain the same.
All I know is I picked the wrong major if interns were at the Hamptons in banking.
Yeah, that was I think that was like 2021 or something. That's a rough
year. Those are the glory days.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the hybrid kind of setup, because I think there is a lot of nuance here. So the research actually shows that like there's no effect on productivity. Like productivity pretty much stays the same, and in fact, it actually saves
in hybrid environments.
In person. Compared to in person, and it actually saves employers money. So there's like good sides of this for both parties. Employees want, as we saw, like 3 days work from home. And what's really interesting is they would say to have work from home flexibility, it's the same as an 8-10% raise. Employees have said that. So given the option to be fully on site plus 10% of your salary as a new compensation, people would decline that and say, I'll stay flexible. So people really want this. It is saving employers money. So there is some win-wins. I think the big loss for people, and we're talking about is hybrid work a trap, is there's serious downsides. And that is you're less likely to get promoted. You're on average making a little less money the more that you're away from the office. And you're more likely to get laid off, like if you are fully remote. But I think that probably tracks even if you're spending less time in the office. And so I think you're missing out on some of these maybe mentorship opportunities, promotion opportunities. And I would say like you can have a really effective job remotely or working from home. I'm not sure you can have a really, really great career as it's set up currently, because I just don't think employers are really understanding how to train hybrid workers as effectively as they can train in person.
Okay, employees. So there was a lot there. Let's start at the beginning, kind of the first few stats that you just dropped.
Like,
why do you think it is that people that are spending less time in the office are getting promoted less or are, you know, seeing less pay increases?
Yeah, I think there's nothing to do with like effectiveness. I think it is just all a heuristic. And I think, you know, most managers grew up managing people that were fully on site. And so all of their best practices, all of their tips, the going to a happy hour, it's all predicated on people being in the office. Mm-hmm. Now we have this ability where, or this capability where some people aren't in the office always. And you're having to manage remote employees. And like, it is kind of out of sight, out of mind. And so I think when managers think about like, who's showing up, who really cares about their job? Who is it clear they really want to work here and I want to give them opportunities? It's like, oh, it's Jim sitting next to me, who's here 5 days a week.
Right.
He must really care. And it's almost like, it isn't really accurate, but it is a heuristic that I think a lot of people are relying on. And I think you're missing out on some of those opportunities if you tend to stay home most days.
Yeah. So I think this is actually really interesting because you're bringing up, you know, hybrid is flexible by its nature. And I think there's a lot of situations in which hybrid can, we can be talking about two completely different situations. Yeah. For example, Morning Brew is fully hybrid. People are distributed across the whole country.
Right.
And you, if you're fully remote, that's fine. If you live in New York, you're not required to come into the office right. any certain amount of days. I think we just have a rule that, you know, we have one offsite a year. So there's some like rules that we all
get,
are coming
in. You can get flown out.
You can get flown. Yeah, see the bevy machine. It's typically an on-site or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we do have opportunities for in-person also for those remote, those people that are fully remote. There are, you know, quarterly opportunities to co-work with people in your city. So I think we're kind of like the poster child for pure remote, no mandates.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be hybrid, you're hybrid. If you want to be remote, you're remote. And if you want to be in person, you're in person.
Yeah.
I think when that becomes a problem
mm-hmm.
is when there's a misalignment between the employer and the employees.
Yeah.
So, for example, again, speaking only on my personal experience here, but our team used to be pretty distributed with yeah. a few people that were in person.
Right.
And so we would have some team members, like, you know, my team member, Charlotte, she was fully remote.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of my interactions with her were over Slack, over Zoom, Google Meets, you know, email, and very, very rarely, maybe once a quarter, I would see her in person.
Yep.
It worked out very well. We had a great communication. And, you know, I wasn't even coming into the office that much because I didn't need to. My main team member was
right.
remote.
And your previous manager, our previous manager, was also
remote.
Fully remote.
Right.
So I think that's a big thing is like, where does your manager sit?
Yeah.
The manager has a lot of influence over if you're going to accelerate your career. So I think just like one tactic is like, if your manager is in the office, I would try to skew being in the office. If your manager is fully remote, you're probably playing on a different playing field
yeah.
and like adjust accordingly.
Yeah. And when we're talking about hybrid, we're not saying like, you know, you're a fully remote company. And that's like a completely different situation.
Right.
Or you're fully in person. Like all the expectations are clear.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing about hybrid and answering the question, is hybrid a trap, is that there is that flexibility. And if you're not managing that appropriately, that can really create tension between the employee and the employer.
Yeah.
If you're like, I expect my team to come in 2 days a week, but you're not telling people that, mm-hmm. or you're not saying which day is a week, and you're not explaining why you want them to come into the office, that's going to create some resentment
yeah.
Between the employers. And the
employer. And I think what is like, to echo your point, I think what is the trap is like hybrid work as we know it right now is really new.
Yeah.
Or it's really new to me. And I feel like mm-hmm. just based on the charts, it's really new to a lot of people where you have people that have different expectations now of how often people should be coming into your workplace if you are hybrid. And you have some people that, you know, want to be like maybe 4 days in the office. Mm-hmm. You have some people that want to be 1 day in the office. And so you have this like big gap between expectations.
Yep.
And I think everyone, employees are figuring out how to navigate this and employers are figuring out how to navigate this. And we're not quite there yet because this is so new. Everyone has different set of expectations. I think the best thing to do is like level set about your expectations with your manager and with your mm-hmm. company and lean into like what your manager kind of wants you to do.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And so to start to answer the question, is hybrid work a trap?
Yeah.
I think it's the least sexy answer. It depends. And I think when it's not a trap is when you are later in your career, you are the manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a little bit more flexibility and you're able to, you know, work at home 3 days a week, whatever.
Yeah.
Or when you need flexible, maybe you're a new mom, you have flexible needs. It doesn't make sense for you to be in the office all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think like what is very interesting to me is hybrid. I've heard this metaphor before, like hybrid is like the twist ice cream. Like
what? What does that even mean?
Let me break down this metaphor. So like fully remote, let's say, is like chocolate ice cream.
Okay.
And working fully in person is vanilla ice cream. And we have this now combination of twist where like if you really like working from home or if you really like being in the office, those are two separate things. Hybrid has mushed them all together. So no one loves the twist ice cream.
I love the twist ice cream.
But there's like there's a little bit for everyone.
Okay.
But because it's not like perfect fit mm-hmm. for every single person, because you're going to have different sets of expectations, it makes it really hard. And I think your point about early in your career, that's where I think the trap is. Going mm-hmm. back to what I previously said, I think you can do a great job at your job hybrid, but I think it's really hard to have a successful career if you're working from home because you are missing out on some of this mm-hmm. like in-person, learning the ropes, getting close to your manager, understanding how office dynamics work on the employee side. The employer side, and what I think has made it really hard for everyone, is now I think there's two offices. You have your physical office and you have Slack. And it's like, or whatever, you know, Microsoft Teams, RIP, if you're using that, whatever you're using, you have these two offices. And, like, there's a different set of culture. There's a different set of, like, protocols for both. And now we're both having to manage both. We're all having to manage both of them.
Right.
You have to show up to the office, and there's a set of expectations there. You have to be present on Slack. If you're managing a hybrid workforce, some people you're having one-on-ones in person. Some people you're having remote. I just don't know if any employee can fully wrap their head around this. And I have a lot of sympathy for managers who are having to manage a hybrid workforce where they probably were trained to only manage in person as well. So there's a lot of hard stuff we're having to figure out with this hybrid setup.
Yeah, and I think this brings up a point that we've kind of both faced. So last year we were both up for director promotions at the same time. And you were in the office quite a lot, and you had also managed those two offices, I think, very well.
The two offices being a building and Slack.
A building and Slack, right? You were constantly in the office. I think you could say you're 5 days a week.
Yeah, free coffee, free water.
Why not? Everyone loves free water. Do you pay for water at
home? My Con Edison bill is super cheap. Yeah.
Kyle's like taking baths in the office shower.
I told you that in confidence, Kayla.
So you were in the office 5 days a week. And as I had just mentioned, I was spending a lot more time at home. I was the type of work that I was doing. I was very distracted in the office and I didn't see the benefit of being in. There weren't, you know, let's say there's between 30 and 50 people that are in the office every day. I was like, I don't really care. None of them are like that important for me getting my job done. Especially because we were a little bit more siloed.
Yep.
And then you were also very good at Slack, right? You're very good at communicating and channels that are outside of our team.
Dropping the best emoji at the right time.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you're advocating for your team appropriately. I feel like you were like a very well-known face, avatar, whatever. I don't know.
Dude, you're such a great avatar. It's like, what does that even mean? Yeah.
But it's true. Okay. You're like pretty well known at Morning Brew, I would say.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like hermiting. I didn't really feel the need. I was like, I'm doing good work and, you know, I'm going to become a director of content because I'm doing good work. My content is good. I humble brag.
Yeah.
And that's all I need. And then, you know, I had a conversation with our manager at the time who was like, both you and Kyle are up for director. You, director of community, me, director of content.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle's going to get it. And it wasn't like either or, but basically she was like, you may not right now because your content is great and there's only so much that I can do to advocate for you in these settings. Director position is a huge jump. And for you to get that, you need to be more well-known.
Yeah.
Around
like,
the office.
And like socialized almost across various leaders and stuff like that.
Like she was like, I can advocate for you only so far. You need other people that can also advocate for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're a director, the downside is higher.
Yeah.
Basically. And you need people that are more willing to like take you, you know, through that journey and like help you in case you mess up.
Yeah. And have buy-in on this decision.
Exactly.
And stuff like that. Yeah.
And so that was a real like eye-opening moment for me.
Yeah, I remember we went on a walk for like an hour
pissed.
And like talked about this, and I think we had a really great conversation.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you sharing that, and I think it's a really good point, which is like maybe it's not how the world should be.
Yeah.
Like you were doing amazing work, and like that is the thing that matters the most,
right?
Like do amazing work, but I think we have this idea, or in a perfect world, the work speaks for itself. But unfortunately, we don't live in that perfect world.
Right.
And people have, again, going back to this concept of heuristics, if people don't see you in the office, they don't see you in Slack, you could, you know, if a tree falls in a forest and no one hears doesn't make a sound. Like if you're doing great work, but people don't know about it, how are they able to advocate for you? How are you able to get sponsorship inside your company?
Right.
And I love this story you brought up because I think it speaks to the heart of why hybrid is hard, is because you need to kind of create a mentorship or like sponsorship or have a persona on your digital platforms, and you need to have a persona in the office. And now we're having to do both. And to your point, like you were maybe like really focused on the work. You were less focused on some of this like BS stuff, quite frankly, but it did kind of materially almost impact your career.
Right. Yeah. And I did get promoted, but I also made big changes, which I was coming into the office more often. I was raising my hand for more opportunities. I was getting coffee with more of the senior leaders.
Yeah.
I think there's two reasons for that, right? One is at a director position, you have a team, you have, you know, a little bit more of that kind of BS stuff becomes mm-hmm. more of your job.
Yep.
And so you need to kind of be able to do that a little bit before you're actually promoted. And you need to have, that's like important. You need to be able to show that you can do that.
Yeah. And I think that was easier in the office if when everyone was
exactly.
in, because like you would see senior leaders yeah. and you could like, you're filling up your water and you're like, oh, hey, Jacob, what's up? Like, tell yeah. me about what you're doing. Oh, I just did this. Now you on Slack, you can't be like, we need to huddle. And
yeah.
they're like, oh, what's wrong? And you're like, oh, nothing, just
what's
checking
up?
In. Yeah. yeah. They're like, what? Who is this?
Yeah.
So it's created a really maybe like more difficult situation for people to mm-hmm. have that. And we're seeing it play out in the stats where like people who do tend to work from home have less mentorship or have less mm-hmm. sponsorship internally. And I think that's a really bad problem because those employees are very, very talented.
Yeah.
And we need to be providing them those opportunities if they are going to be digital in order to retain the best talent.
No, I completely agree. And I think when, you know, one tactic that I have, unfortunately, especially when you're, you know, kind of gunning for a new position or you're gunning for promotion, is to be more present.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to be more present is to go into the office more, unfortunately. And there are harder ways to do it, right? You can be better at Slack.
Mm-hmm.
You can raise your hand. You can ask for that coffee. Hey, can I have a virtual Zoom with you, you know, senior leader, whatever,
yeah.
CCO? It's just harder. It requires you to be a little bit more proactive, a little bit more vulnerable
mm-hmm.
Because you're constantly reaching out and you have to kind of force it versus the natural, I'm in the office, you see me, you remember that I'm working, you know, and then you remember that I'm working, you tap me for, it's like if you give a mouse a cookie, you tap me for more projects
yeah.
or you come to me with questions.
Yeah, you got to give the mouse a cookie.
Exactly. And so it's unfortunate, but I do think that that's the easiest way
yeah.
to be more visible in the office, but you can do it in other ways.
Yeah. So you mentioned a tactic. Let's get into tactics.
Yeah.
So we talked about kind of the pros and cons of hybrid work,
mm-hmm.
how it can be a trap
yep.
for a lot of people, both employers and employees. You've just given one tactic. Like, do you have any other tactics? If I'm listening to this and I'm like, yeah, I'm in a hybrid setup, I want to grow my career, mm-hmm. I understand we're in kind of a new world now, what would you recommend people do to really grow their career and navigate these new waters?
Well, besides what I just said, which was going into the office
yeah.
more, I do think getting really, really good at communication
mm.
is across both those two offices. I really like that.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Thanks.
The two offices, the Slack and the building. I think getting really, really good at communicating, advocating for yourself. It could be as annoying as like, hey, boss, this is what I just did. Like, this is what I'm about to do. Any thoughts on this? Any questions? Can I have feedback?
Yep.
And it could be something as like, you know, joining Slack channels that are ERG groups or
yep.
like employee resource groups. Or, you know, like we have something called the tea room at Morning Brew, which is basically like any women can kind of join.
Yeah.
It's open, so anybody can join.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it's more like, you know, it's talking shit about Taylor
gossip.
Swift,
yeah.
some goss, you know, little stuff like that. And being active in those
yeah.
is a good way to kind of communicate a little bit more.
I love it. Okay, I have some tactics
sure.
for people. So the first is, this is probably a tactic for every single episode, so you just put this on repeat. Talk to your manager.
Yeah.
Your manager is going to have one of, if not the biggest, effects on how you grow your career, and you want to know what their expectation is of you. If they're like, look, I don't care if you're in the office, but here is what is going to get you to the next level. It's about work quality. It's about being communicative via email. Then, like, lean into that. If your manager's like, look, like, I want to see you in the office. I like having in-person meetings. I want to rope you in and do some brainstorming, mm-hmm. and that's easier in person. Then you're going to have to decide, if I'm serious about my career
yeah.
and this manager, I'm going to do that. Otherwise, you can always leave. Like,
yeah.
that is always an option. So talk to your manager. The second is, we've harked on this, understand there's now two offices.
Yeah.
There is a physical office where, like, people are doing things. And, like, I remember
You're
when
chatting.
I work from home, I'm just like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Like, who's eating my beef jerky in the kitchen? Like, but there's two offices now. You have the in-person office and you have Slack or
yeah.
Teams. And both matter, particularly if you're in a hybrid setup where not everyone's in the office. Like, sometimes Slack feels even more important to be visible and to be communicative on it.
Mm-hmm.
So have a strategy for how you're going to show up in the office and how you're going to show up on Slack. And then my third piece of advice is join a mentorship or a community mm-hmm. that's outside of your company.
Yeah.
I think we're really suffering from lack of mentorship now because of this hybrid setup. It's a lot harder. Fortunately, because we have capabilities to work from home and the tech is so great remotely, you can join a community like anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can't get that mentorship internally, go find it elsewhere. Join, if you're in product, go join a product community and find a senior product leader somewhere else, and they could be your mentor. Mm-hmm. They might not be able to effectively, you know, sponsor, advocate you for your company, but I still think it's very, very important. And my last piece of advice, because I don't want this to be like us yelling at the employees, like, do better, because that's not what we're saying, is on employers.
Yeah.
Employers have to realize this is the new normal. People are not going to come back to the office 5 days a week. You're going to be managing people in a hybrid setup, and it is on you to get good at both managing people in person, but also managing people digitally. I think the next batch of really effective managers are going to navigate both really, really well, and it's going to allow them to attract more talent, because you're going to be able to have the work from home people, the fully remote people, the all in office people under you, getting career development, doing great work. So I think there's still a lot to be done on both sides, but like the tech is only going to get better. We're in day one, to quote Jeff Bezos, of this hybrid model. So I'm really excited, because there's huge pros. We've mentioned them, like people have more flexibility. Mm-hmm. You're able to recruit better talent, working moms, people with accessibility issues, like they can join your company now. So I'm very excited. Clearly, I'm passionate about this topic, but those are my tactics.
Amazing. So to wrap it up, is hybrid work a trap?
Hybrid work is a trap for employees and employers, but the cure to the trap is clear expectations, communication, and understanding that we are in a new normal.
Well spoken.
I hate that I just said new normal like 12 times.
Yeah, that's tough.
That buzzword went out in like 2022.
Maybe even earlier. It's the new normal, folks.
It's the new normal. Breaking news. We've uncovered the truth. Okay. Any last words, Kayla?
Well, I feel like this is a very spicy take and a lot of topic, and a lot of people are going to have thoughts. So if you have any thoughts, send them to us per my last email at morningbrew.com, or check out our socials per my last email.
Yes.
Or let us know where we are wrong.
Or wear the same outfits as us, because clearly we like matching as
well. We love to match. We match all the time.
All right, Kayla, should we roll the credits?
I think we should. Our producer is Michaela Heck.
Our technical director is Isabel Quinn.
Jen Walsh is our associate director of audience development.
Our chief content officer is Devin Emery.
This show is a production of Morning Brew.
Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.